my favorite guy, my very favorite musician, Stanley Turrentine, with River's Invitation. This is from his 1965 album, Joyride. And it's a particularly meaningful album to me because I loaned it to somebody, many, many, many years ago, and I have not gotten it back. And what hurts about that was that I bought that album and had very little money left. I was a student in college, and that hurts me to this day. Well, this is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I want to ask a question and see if you have the answer. As you know, the Republicans are about to close out, as of tomorrow, their national convention. Lots of stuff to discuss there. But the question I want to ask today is, by the time it closes out, what would be, in your view, the most significant development? What would be the most significant development by the time the Republicans close out their national convention in Charlotte, North Carolina? It dawned on me that I hadn't heard even a hint of it. And it is therefore significant when you don't hear about something at all. You're not hearing people discussing what to me was so obvious. You wonder, what's that about? Why aren't they talking about that? So we'll talk about that today. What do you think will have been the most significant accomplishment of the Republican National Convention, which closes out tomorrow? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you're thinking. Let's hear what you have to say. 888-874-4888. And just to give you a little bit more incentive, let's have a little bit more of Stanley Turrentine and his River's Invitation to help the brain cells, to boost the brain cell activity. Let's see if you spotted it. You're listening to Lead Stories. First analysis from Tony of Orlando. What would have happened by the time the Republicans close out their national convention tomorrow? You have an answer, Tony?
Yes, Eutrice. I would say the biggest accomplishment that we're going to see out of this Republican National Convention is the fact that in Trump's world, the coronavirus doesn't exist.
Okay.
We don't see any mention of the coronavirus, hardly. No one's wearing a mask, I guess because in their little bubble, everybody can afford to be tested on the spot. You know, in my world, everybody has to wear a mask, otherwise you die. In their world, they have enough money to screen everybody before you get to be close to each other. So it's a different world. Coronavirus, they don't want to talk about the coronavirus because it's been a total disaster as far as the Trump administration is concerned. Complete disaster. The worst polling that they have has to do with the coronavirus, and they don't want to talk about it.
Well, would you? If you had such strong evidence against you, would you volunteer to raise the subject so that people could pile on you? No. They say nothing, and therefore it doesn't exist.
Exactly. But someone at home watching the convention, you can see that they're it's another world. They're in another world. That's one of the things that I kind of liked about the Democrat National Convention, is that they showed almost, it felt almost like if there were real people in the, you know, they were going through the same thing that the rest of us are going through. Even if it's a show or not, I don't care what, you know, like, I believe Jerry a few days ago wanted to criticize me for not caring if it's genuine or not, but it still strikes a chord inside of you as a human being to see certain things on television, because human beings are visual creatures. We like to see what we like to see.
Okay, well, that's a good observation, and we'll take it. Thankfully, we'll take it, because you're right on the money in that sense. Thanks for calling in, Tony, for starting us off today. So, well, we had one taker, but it's not quite on the mark where I thought it would be. Something major is happening. How come you didn't see it? It's still happening. And by tomorrow, it will have been accomplished. Not discussed, but it would have been accomplished. It's a dramatic development. Who is going to get that answer today? I need to know who is going to tell us what by tomorrow, when the Republican National Committee closes the door on its convention, what would have taken place by tomorrow that would set a whole new course for the party? By tomorrow, what do you think it is? We've been talking about it. We've been dancing around it. We've even referred to it directly. But by tomorrow, there is no question that this change will occur. And it will set in motion a whole new set of moves, political moves. And we will see what the results of those moves will be. But there's no question. You've been given hints. You've been given indications. But you weren't paying attention because it slipped by. Come on, people. What is about to happen as of tomorrow that they're not discussing? And yet, they've made it evident. What is about to happen tomorrow, as of tomorrow, when the Republicans close their doors on this national convention? And that, in effect, will set in motion, because the Republicans were the second up at bat. The Democrats went first. And as of tomorrow, when that occurs, when they close out the convention, the Republicans do, it sets in motion the contest proper. The fight between Democrats and Republicans for the White House begins in earnest, if you can say it that way. What do you think is about to happen? What do you think will have happened by tomorrow? And how come you missed it? Oh, I'm close to tears. I can't imagine that you missed it. I can't imagine that. What would have happened by tomorrow, do you think? 888-874-4888. Gotcha. I think I got you. Now you don't know what I'm talking about, and yet you will know when I give you the answer. But I'm not going to be so kind as to give you the answer right away, make you suffer, make you think. It's a very simple question. What by tomorrow will have occurred with the closing of the Republican National Convention? What is the most significant thing that will have happened by tomorrow that will change the entire course of our history? What would that be? Could you figure it out? You observed the speeches that were made. You observed the tenor of the convention. You were reading, I'm sure, about what was going on outside of the convention. You were reading about the Democrats and their reaction. But you weren't given the answer. That you had to figure out for yourselves. I'm asking for that answer today. What will have happened by tomorrow that will change the course of things as we know it? You should have the answer. 888-874-4888. Come on, people. You're getting me despondent here. I can't imagine it would take this much time to get an answer to the question. We had Tony from Orlando, who gave us a very good introduction, and he was right on the money about the coronavirus, how the Republicans seemed to agree that it was not to be a major topic of discussion, because it would only naturally lead into the heavy critiques that are long overdue then for the disastrous response to the coronavirus. So they decided to leave well enough alone. Don't talk about it. 170,000 people have died, but don't worry about that. We'll get to that another time. For now, it is about the glory of the Republican Party. What say you? What is going to happen? I'm going to give you a couple more minutes, and then we'll just take it over and keep moving. What will have happened by tomorrow that will change the course of things? And let us know that a major shift has occurred in the United States, whether we recognized it or not. A major shift would have occurred by tomorrow. Guaranteed. No takers. I'm getting close to answering my own question. And that's not good. That's not good. Let's get at least one more try. I'm not used to people who listen to lead stories giving up so soon. No. That's not the lead stories audience at all. So why are you giving up so soon? Can't think? Okay, let me give you one more hint. It has to do with a major political shift that would have been accomplished without us being really aware of it. but it is extremely important. And it would cause a lot of other things to happen that we did not anticipate or will not anticipate. But it is going to be a major political shift. And it's not like they have been hiding it. It's been there, right in front of us, and we didn't see it, or we are not seeing it. What could that be? What is about to happen in this country that would set the entire political realm on an entirely different axis as of tomorrow? Daryl from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Greetings, Yatrice. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, Daryl.
I would suggest that it is a change in one of the political parties to morphing to a consolidation of what they've been moving towards since about, maybe 64, which means that as the Democratic Party changed in 65, and then the Republican Party became the old Democratic Party, it's been moving consistently to the quote-unquote right or quote-unquote conservative position. And with the renomination of Donald Trump and the consolidation of a base that believes in what it believes, that'll be the conversion of the Republican Party from what it was in the 50s to what it began to be in the 67 period to today.
You know, Daryl, I used to live in the Bronx, and I'm so happy to talk to you today because you're right on the money. You're right
That's
on the money.
When you listen to your lead story and talk that and have been in the country.
Well, thank you so much. You're right on the money.
Bring back the city, son.
Well, I'm old and gray now.
Hey, but virtually, and you listen to Gary, so unless you're 120, I ain't listening.
Well, thank you. But thank you for this answer. It is insightful and right on point. Thank you.
And do you know where it came from, Yatrice, really quickly?
What?
When I was listening to the First Lady last night, and I was ticking off the points that could be contended, and then I figured out that I was listening to Eddie Glaude do an interview with Don Cheadle on books or something about books. And
yes,
how do you convince someone who is steeped in and believes in a lie when you present them with the truth that's painful for them? How do you get them to accept it?
Well, we are witnessing it, aren't we?
Exactly.
That's right. Thanks exactly. for bringing us right on point. Thank you, Daryl, for your call. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon.
What is about to happen? We have not been prepared for.
It has something to do with the census.
With the census?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I know that the census has been going on. It hasn't. The media hasn't really been paying too much attention to it. It's been mentioned, but I'm not sure as far as the deadlines are concerned for counting or things like that. But I was just taking a stab at it because when you said it's been under the radar, the census has been largely under the radar. I received mail-ins at my home. I did it online initially, I believe, when it first came out. But I wasn't sure. I wasn't aware there was a deadline for the count or anything like that. But I was just taking a stab in the dark. I think I thought you were referring to something to do with the census as far as a major political change.
Well, it's not to do, from what I was thinking, it was not to do so much with the census, although you've raised a very, very important point, and you have to take that into consideration in a larger program. But thank you for contributing today. What is about to happen is that by tomorrow, Donald Trump and the Republicans working under him or with him will have successfully taken over the party. Very subtly, very smooth moves, but they would have taken over the party. It is the Trump party. It will be the Trump party. They have supplanted the old Republican leadership. He has handpicked people who are strategically located within the government in extremely important roles that, of course, generate a lot of money. But the fact is that he has taken out the people he sees as impediments to his wealth, impediments to his agenda. What exactly the agenda is, we don't know yet. But we can consider that. We can suggest that. We know it will have to do with making a lot of money. But when the Trumps were introduced at the beginning of the session, it was not about just, are they a lovely family? That was not what was meant to portray. It was, look who the new leaders of the Republican Party are. Look who the new leaders are going to be. Trump and all things Trump. And it was perhaps a slip or a direct attempt to get people a little confused so that they don't see what the real meaning of that is, or it's kind of inside joke. Here are all the Trumps. Here are all the people who will form the top class, the top ruling class of this country. And they are about to take charge in various areas where I have situated them. They'll be making new policy, and they'll be making a lot of money. It's a new Trump corporation. Only that it has an overt political purpose. But it is, in a sense, a Trump corporation. And they presented themselves, all the Trumps and would-be Trumps. And they were acting anyway, as stewards of the party and stewards of the philosophy of the party. The interesting thing was that it didn't get much reaction from within the party itself. They let it happen. So Trump literally was in charge of this national convention. I don't think that it would be wrong to say that. Controlled, just like any other production, he controlled it. And worse, they let him. He bogarted his way in, took over what he considered to be the essential functions of this national convention saw to it that every day, every night, somehow, his face was on the air, dictating and defining policy. There was no opposition. They just took them out. It's not your night. You go someplace and amuse yourself. And we'll call you when we're done. Look at what happened. Look at how they choreographed it. Nothing was discussed in this entire convention that didn't have principal importance to Trump and what he wants to do, what his agenda is. Nothing. And they let him do it. All the people, all the stalwart Republicans, old-time Republicans, lapel-grabbing Republicans, were nowhere to be found, were not heard, were not seen. They cleared the debris out. It was a Trump affair. And it was meant to communicate that he was in charge. Everybody is marching to his tune. You didn't get to see old-fashioned Republicans talking about, you know, flags and stars and stars and banner, all these guys. None of that. It was, here is Joe Dokes. He's my new guy. He's going to take care of the post office from now on. I know you're not happy about it. But we'll see to it there's nothing you can do about it. And certainly for the duration of this convocation, there will be no negatives about it. That's who I want. And there are many reasons why I want him. So I put him there. Now, if you had a real old-fashioned Republican Party, that couldn't happen. There would be hell to pay over this one thing. Yes, we did have a bunch of folks who walked away from Trump, who walked away from the Republican Party and joined with the Democrats. Some of them very high profile. And they calculated, or more correctly, they miscalculated that that act would have been enough to spark a wholesale response from the party faithful. It did not. The party faithful didn't care. They stuck with Trump. Although it was very clear that those who left the party and joined with the Democrats and actually organized themselves as a force against the Republicans, although they themselves were Republicans, they calculated that it would have shocked the conscience of Republicans, and people would start asking, what the heck are we doing? We're destroying our party. It didn't work. They did not have the pull. They did not have the credibility And they did not have the organization. They did not have the people behind them. The people said, you're trying to destroy the party. You're trying to destroy Donald Trump, who has done so much for the party. It is you. You have to go away. And so they did. Now, that got no coverage at all. But you know, I was paying attention. You pay attention to these things. That group got no airtime whatsoever. They shut them out and they shut them down. Trump prevailed. And there was no great coverage of an inward fight, an inner fight in the party. There was none of that. They were totally slammed. And they were so sure, because some of them were former heads of the Republican Party themselves. And they were sure that this was a call to conscience. Side with us to save the party. The party is in grave danger. This man is destroying the party and the history and the values of the party. We have to stop it. Join us in this fight. They couldn't even fill a room. And you notice nothing was said. It was, things went on nicely and quietly, with more stupid speeches and more Trumps coming out of every corner. Oh, here's a baby Trump, here's grandson Trump, here's Uncle Trump. They carried on as if nothing was going on. And yet there was incredible foment within the party. And you would have thought for sure, with all that was going on against Trump, the coronavirus, his gang of appointees who are every day showing themselves to be more criminal than anything else, incompetence, his son-in-law, his sons, his daughter. I mean, it's just, you have such an incredible case to just wipe the slate clean of anybody named Trump, and yet it didn't work. It did not work. So why? They had everything going against them, media against them. They had the issues out there against them. They had themselves against them with such rotten profiles out in the public and so much suspicion about their thievery and their underhandedness and the illegal things that they have done and continue to do, all of that against them. And yet tomorrow, they would be able to say they have taken the Republican Party. They've taken it. And without much of a fight, they took it. It is a Trump property now. Trump calls the shots. Trump organizes the agenda. Trump basically decides what he wants to do and how the party can facilitate it, not just within the United States, but all throughout the world. That's what happened. In just a couple of days, they put the finishing touches on that plan. So as of tomorrow, when they close those doors and they say, well, we had a good meeting, glad everybody showed up, and we got some good work done, and we're so thrilled to be able to present our party's views and philosophies to the people, so that in November, they would be able to vote far more intelligently than they normally have. We tried our best to convey to them what we're trying to achieve. They're not going to mention any fighting. They're not going to mention any wars. They're not going to mention any underhanded stuff. They're not going to mention the fact that Trump took the party. He has taken it. And the flip side of that coin is they let him. They're so weak, they let him. That's what's happening. That is what's happening. All these people with all their education and all the certificates that they have from all these great, brilliant schools and whatnot, all the years they've been in public life meant nothing. Trump organized just like his father would have organized, as a scrapper. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to get. And I'll get it by hook and mostly by crook. But I'm going to get it. A smooth operation. Very smooth. And people are directed to look elsewhere and be entertained by other things, which had nothing to do with that agenda. That was the agenda they went in with to officially take the party. Take the party. That's what Trump has achieved. He has taken the party. And all that stuff that people thought, frankly, was very boring. You have Trumps, you have people who will soon be Trumps, have Trumps yet to be born, being presented. Look at it, all Trump. Why did it have to be all Trump? He was telling people, look at us. We are your new masters. We are the new owners of this property. We'll tell you more later, but right now, join with us in celebration, in celebration of what America stands for. Yeah. And the people ate it up. Nobody, not even in the well-established press, has raised a question. Has Trump actually taken the party? Nobody's asking the question. They still haven't understood that that mission has been accomplished. We're still talking about a Republican Party that no longer exists. Not as of this week, not as of tomorrow. Officially, it's a Trump property. Get used to it. How come they didn't see it? How come they didn't understand it? How come they couldn't detect the deliberate moves that were made that had a, it looked a little disorganized, but in fact it was very organized. You're just not paying attention. How do these former leaders of the party, because he didn't drive them out of the party, they walked out on their own. How about that? How about that? They didn't even have the guts to stay and fight. They said, okay, it's all over. We're out of here. Trump has won a big prize, the entire party. And all that it stands for, all that it can facilitate as he looks ahead, him and his marginally competent children. Yes, indeed. He has fixed, at least he thinks he has, fixed for generations, a couple of generations from now, he has fixed the party the way he wants it. And it is to be the center, the epicenter of a money and power machine that would provide ridiculous amounts of money and influence for years to come. And we're sitting here talking about, well, this act is about to pass, and we're urging people to do, and they're still arguing. The Democrats are arguing about legislation they want to pass. They don't yet understand. They haven't yet realized it's redundant. It doesn't matter. Pass whatever you want. Or don't pass whatever you don't want. He's in control of a political party. He didn't have to spend a penny for that. He didn't have to organize for that. He just took it right from under their noses. And that, my friends, was my question. What is going to happen the minute they close those doors? It's going to be a whole new equation. It will be another Trump property. I don't know what the response will be, but for one thing, it will be too late. And number two, do they even have the energy to mount any kind of opposition to Trump where he is now? Do they have the money? Do they have the organization? Do they have the support of the people? No, they're busy paying attention to other stuff. He is running the way gangsters think, true gangsters think. You do what you want to do. I know how to get things done. I'm going to follow that. It's how my father did it. It's how his father did it. Imagine a guy who today could stand up and grab his lapels and make incredible speeches. Your grandfather was a dope dealer and ran whorehouses. That's not a bad shift, is it? That's not a bad shift. And it happened right here in this country. Oh, yeah. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt and with proper perspective. This is how America works. Trump understands the value and importance of having mechanisms that can deliver the results you want. Doesn't waste time with what is right and what is proper and what is just and what is ethical. They don't have time for that nonsense. This is what I want. This is how I'm going to get it. And all those people with their education and their degrees and their expertise and experience and all the years they've spent in Congress didn't see it coming. So I thought I would share that little nugget of information with you and have you whirl it around in your head for a while.